Noxious Weeds County Council held on the 29th of June. Copies have been distributed. Next one was the minutes of the extraordinary meeting, table and noxious on the 1st of September. And the third one was, that's the three of them. So I've moved Councillor Murat, second to Councillor Scott, do all the minutes, do the whole lot in bulk. Have been moved and seconded. Everyone in favour with them? Thank you, I declare that carried. Now we're up to Chairman's report. Chairman's report, which is on page
13,
which is right there. The Chairman's report was compiled by the General Manager and myself. I think you've all had the opportunity to read it, so if there are any you'd like to talk about in it. Scott?
We're discussing the DA later on in the day.
We will be.
Yes.
We definitely, that's an area we'll be covering it.
Comments I have.
Yep.
And the new biosecurity officer, just a question of how that new position will be sort of placed. Is it allocated to somewhere, or a floating one, or how is it, what's the thinking there?
No, okay. The new biosecurity officer is Matthew Vitale, who you probably know as Caesar, being his nickname, and he's based in, so he'll take over the area of Gleninus in Burrell. Not so much in Burrell, but he's in that geographic area, so he'll look after Glen in particular.
Oh, okay.
And then there's Jeff in Inverell.
Yeah.
So,
Sorry. Mr. Chairman, the actual structure, where is it sitting in the actual structure?
Yeah, kind of, pretty much.
The actual structure right now, one we've adopted, which is that one there, is currently in a bit of flux. We're going through another reschedule. And I was talking with Tim yesterday regards the structure. We'd probably be advisable for us to leave it to the next council when they're elected, because they'll have to redo it anyhow to go through the structure. So at this stage, if it's up to you, of course, I personally think it'd be all right to leave it in flux at the moment, and not settled, not tied down, until the new council is, after the election, elected, and then the new council will then go ahead, determine the structure, put it all together, and make sure it works.
So there's no, like in the current state of uncertainty, if you like, the only question I have is that some of the risks that were identified by the previous acting...
Yeah.
General Manager.
Are
being managed.
Yes.
At the moment,
yes.
until the next Weeds Council is appointed.
So I can tell you how we're operating at the moment, and this is a bit of a legacy from Glenn Wilcox, is that under Josh Biddle are all the biosecurity officers, of which there are seven, so they all report to Josh somewhat informally, and they were only a small council. So he's looking after that side, and Matt Benham's looking after the spraying and the sprayers and the contracted sprayers. So it's basically separated between those doing inspections and those doing spraying.
Spray contract.
Not to say that never the train will meet, because there will be times when biosecurity officers, just for simple logistics, if they're in an area, it makes sense to, if they just need to do a little bit of spraying or something like that, they'll do that. But essentially it's inspections and spraying, inspections under Josh, and spraying under Matt. To say all of the sins of the past, they've been dealt with, but as you know, human nature is old habits die hard. So we're struggling a little bit with not only the work health and safety side of it, but also the audit side of it, because auditors, there's things that they put in the audit report, but there's other things that they talk to us about, and it's been fairly sort of, if I can use the term, sort of loosey-goosey on the documentation of administration, putting it that way. So purchase and things like that, purchase orders were a bit of a hit and miss. So they lack some discipline on the financial side. Journal entries and things like that weren't getting signed off. It's not that there's anything improper, but there is no sort of audit trail.
Yeah.
And then on the work health and safety side, that's a bit of work in progress. But we've taken some decisions, particularly on vehicles, that the quad bikes and the side-by-sides and things like that, to try and say, come on, let's focus on the job. In terms of the vehicles we use to do that, let's get a lot more sort of practical, and in particular safe and things like that. So does that answer the question?
Yeah, actually not really. The area that was, I thought, a risk was a single line of reporting
control
and control down to the staff.
Mm.
It was coming through one person who's left.
All through James Browning, yeah. Yes, so that's now
diversified,
separated into two types of activity and two individuals.
The risk
yeah.
was, and could still be, that if you've got all your biosecurity officers and they've got a problem, they've still only got one person to go through.
Yeah.
Unless if they can only go through Josh.
Yeah.
And Josh turns out to be another James, then we're back where we started from.
Yes.
So the idea of having the two,
yep.
when we set the structure up specifically so that they had more than one avenue
yep.
of complaint or
yep.
general manager.
Whatever
yep.
it may be.
Yeah.
So I can see that you
could address an issue.
That's probably a better way to phrase it.
Yeah.
So
yep.
the concern is that if those two areas are too compartmentalised,
yes.
then we're back where we started
yep.
from. And that, we deliberately tried to avoid that when we
yeah.
at the structure previously.
Yeah. And that's where I said, if you remember, just when I said, look, the theory is there's Josh and biosecurity officers and Matt and the sprayers. And then I made the comment, but it's not as black and
yes.
white as that, because inevitably Matt needs what is termed biosecurity officers to do some spraying and vice versa, etc. So they do. So Josh doing some of his project work, in particular down in the Manning Valley, needs the services of Matt and his people, so to speak, limited numbers though they are. So it does mill back and forth.
Yeah. Just as long as they've got
yeah.
there's some sort of formal recognition that
mm.
that is the case.
That's where
yeah.
the position is.
It shouldn't be an issue that they can go.
Yeah.
Either way,
yes.
They're up
to
you.
Hmm.
Yeah,
that's yeah.
also
yeah.
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 No,
understood.
But my question about the security officer just related to where you really are, where they're putting it. So he's obviously going to be.
Yes.
Is that as a replacement for what's the name was there before?
Yes, for Trent, who was looking after Glenn. He's still involved, though, because he had a lot of work underway and obviously knows what needs to be done, what has been done, etc. So he's sort of mentoring Matt Batali to get him up to speed, etc. But then they'll sort of settle down into their regions. And
so where is Trent? Region is Trent going to?
Armidale Regional,
okay.
which is Gyra, Armidale and Gyra.
Okay.
Rachel's still looking after Armidale City, the sort of peri-urban side, and Urala. Josh Robb is looking after your area, which is Walker. And who else do we have? Jeff up in the north looking after Inverell.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is all discussed later on in the report anyhow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else, Scott? Okay, can I have a move and a second that my report be noted? Margaret? You have to write that in because there's no recommendation.
Yes, yeah.
Chairman's report be noted.
Yes.
Actually tabled and noted.
Okay.
Can you move that? It was Carol and Margaret. Margaret and Carol.
Okay.
Now, the next recommendation is on recommendation 6 on page 14, and that's the election of deputy chair. And I think we, at this stage, because there's only 1 month going, I'd like the support of the council if we just allow Scott to continue on till the end of this term. Do you have any objections? Are you happy to continue on, Scott?
Sure.
Would you like to move this, Andrew?
I'll move it,
yeah. And Carol seconded? Moved Andrew, seconded Carol. Congratulations, Scott. Hopefully I don't have a heart attack between now and then, otherwise you'll be busier.
Yeah. Regularly. Very
good. Now, the next recommendation is 7.1 on page 17. That the report indicating council's fund management position be received and noted, that the certificate of the responsible accounting officer be noted and the report adopted. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Scott? Carol? Any comments? Any information you would like? No? Oh, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Yeah.
Carried. And the previous motion too. Carried.
Hey?
Yes.
Oh, mate.
Don't go down that path.
My lifestyle depends on interest rates and share returns, and I'm suffering. Ella, let's go. The next page, the next one is on 7.2 on page 20. That council adopt the June 2021 quarterly budget review and approve the proposed budget variations. Mr. General Manager, would you like to talk on this one before we...
Yes, the primarily and almost exclusively the major budget variation is to add Inverell into the budget, because it wasn't there when the original budget was adopted. The MOU hadn't been signed, so you'll notice in the comment column it reads almost exclusively inclusion of Inverell. So that has brought Inverell into the budget. So, they're really the major items.
Any other queries or questions? Could I have a mover and a seconder for recommendation? Andrew, Margaret. All those in favour, signify in the usual manner. Carried.
Just an apology from John Duggan. He asked if he was needed to be here, and I said, "Look, given the
COVID,
given a COVID and B the you know the variations in the budget between the original and this one, and also the fact." You know, there's time and cost in John coming up here to sit for a minute and a half, sort of thing. Yeah. He did offer. He said, "Look, if you have anything, just give me a call and I'll address it." But there's only 99% is relating to Inverell, and then there's a few things that aren't going forward.
Just ask a question on the that's income. Northern Tablet
Lead
Agency/Regional Project Officer.
Yes.
Which is the part of the WAP funding from LLS.
Yes.
says won't receive the $56,000. Has there been an explanation for that?
Yes, that relates to Heather App's position, and what they've decided is that the WAP, documentation, reconciliation, etc., is now being done by Nicola is going to do that work rather than Heather do that work.
Okay.
So that's a function that historically, I understand, for about 10 plus years, about 15 years, has been done within NUA, but now that's going to be done within LLS. So they're going to do that reconciliation. So that's what happened. So they've taken away the funding, and that's also taken away part of Heather's role and the amount of time she spends as well.
That's an operation. That's a decision that must have been made operationally, I think, between the LLS and DPOA.
Yes. Not, it wasn't, you know, something they presented to Glenn Wilcox at that point in time as a sort of a fait accompli to say we've decided we're going to, manage this going forward. Also, as you probably know, Scott, better than I, there's a couple of people in either LLS or DPI who have retired and sort of moved on, etc.
Yeah, I know that they had an issue, the LLS in particular had an issue. They were worried about the WAP funding and the trouble that was going on before, but they had trouble there end as well.
Yes.
So that's probably why it's gone to the government, I'd suggest.
Yes.
As an independent as well.
Yeah.
Completely independent from LLS as well.
Correct.
Yeah, but they were pretty unhappy.
Yes, and there were funds being moved about and all kinds of things. So, from an operational point of view, it's probably it enables us to focus on what our job is, rather than getting distracted by a lot of other activity.
Yeah. So, as long as it's not the foot in the door or the wedge or something.
No, I don't think so. I think
to erode the WAP funding.
No, it doesn't seem to be affecting the funding, just the reporting of it.
Yeah.
All right, that's the financial. We had a mover and a seconder, have we?
Yes.
Yep. Now put the recommendation. All those in favour? Carried. Recommendation 7.4. That the financial statements and audit report for the financial year ending the 30th of June 2020.
You're highlighting. Yep.
Page 43.
Okay.
So we'll have an amendment that should be 2021. The recommendation? 7.4.
Yep. Okay.
We received and noted. Are there any questions?
So
Scott again.
Annual report 2020-2021.
Yours? Yes. 2021.
Yes.
It should be.
That's just my typo.
My
typo said 2020.
Well, it says
2020-2021
That's the second one.
No, 7.4. 7.4.
For the first one, it's just it should be 2021.
Yep.
Yep.
I was only
moving,
that's all.
Scott?
Question, just
moving. Okay. It's moved, Scott. Seconded, Carol. All those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. And the next one is 8.1.1. A council adopt the 2020-2021 annual report, that a copy is placed on the council's website, and that the Office of Local Government is notified that the annual report is on council's website. Office of Local Government. Moved, Margaret. Seconded, Scott. I have a question. There's the Office of Local Government or the Audit Report or the Auditor General's Office, which is the Ombudsman's Office.
The Audit Report goes to the Auditor General, but the Annual Report
goes to the
we only have to notify them that's available. Yep. In notifying them, we'll send them a copy, but we'll say that it's available on the website.
Okay.
And we're doing a bit of work on the website because off the record, we're not as compliant as we should be in terms of putting information on the website. There's a lot of things under the Act, as you all know, need to be there, and it's not there, and it should be. I mean, we'll come to our policies and procedures, and they're all supposed to be available to the public. And when I was prior to securing this position, I kept looking at the website, and I couldn't find the information I was looking for. So we'll correct that in short order.
Yeah, I agree. It is an issue because so many people now do go to websites for information, and I think it's more the council the bigger the issue is that the cost, the impost of preparing those websites continually updated is the gift that people are giving, which is and it is basically pretty expensive. I know even Viper, our website's a piece of crap.
You realise the same.
Everyone thinks that everyone else's is better. Maybe they are, but it is quite important. And I don't know whether there'd be any grant money out and about. I know Michael's got a bit of grant money to spend on our website.
$100,000
or something to do it, which is probably only just going to bash it into shape a little bit.
That's what they're looking into.
I can certainly look into that. At this stage, I've only identified that work needs to be done. I haven't identified the scope of the work. But we are, at the risk of digressing slightly, one of the things I'm keen to do is we have a lot of fairly talented people in ways that aren't just the role that they have as a biosecurity officer or a sprayer. People like Josh Robb, for example, he's been in the Australian military, he's trained as a mechanic, etc., etc. So he's very, very sort of mechanical. And so I've certainly identified, you know, roles that he can do to, you know, check vehicles, check equipment and things like that, you know, catch it before it breaks sort of thing. We have, Rachel's been somewhat informally sending out media releases, and I've had a chat to say, well, look, let's up the ante a little bit, and that includes the Facebook page where we basically repost, you know, information that's on other Facebook pages. We don't generate a lot of our own. And so I've said to her, I'd like to see, you know, once a week we put some kind of statement on there. It's not hard to get a photograph of, you know, someone spaying soda apple or something like that. So we're, you know, giving people some responsibilities other than just their day-to-day. Trent has a environmental biosecurity degree qualification, and so, you know, getting him to be responsible for those areas. But it's all about spreading it around a bit, so it isn't just one person controlling everything. There's different things go to different, you know, people. And the website is one of them. Not exactly sure where it's going, but I suspect it might end up in an area such as Rachel, because she's quite, good. She's quite methodical at doing that sort of thing.
The other option I would suggest too is some resource sharing.
Yes.
You know, Armadale is big enough, I imagine, to have dedicated IT that can probably use for some negotiating cost. Well, it has the same problem as we're not big enough to have a dedicated IT. Ours is kind of sublet to Tamworth. So that's the issue. Unless you've got, you know, permanent IT, updating the website tends to get left behind a wee bit. But if the capability is not exactly do the job, there might be the opportunity to negotiate with Armadale or Tamworth.
Yeah.
or anywhere else.
It never ceases to amaze me that every time I go to the website to find information out, I can never get it.
Yeah.
Yet when I'm just thumbing through it, let's see.
Yeah. Well, it's just a fact of doing business. Yeah.
Mm.
Websites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should confess, as Andrew and Margaret may know, that I actually did the Armidale Council website upgrade back 5 years ago now, 6 years ago. Yeah, so it doesn't mean I want to do it. I've actually taken the pledge I won't do it again, having done three councils now. Yes.
I think they're in Armidale.
Yes, correct. And I've only had a sort of a short conversation just to say, looking forward to catching up sort of thing. So, I think we can do what we have to do fairly easily. The bit where funding is useful is where you want to change the look and the feel. I mean, technically we can get the stuff on there. Is it pretty, you know, has it got all the bells and whistles? You know, that's a job for another day, but I think the first thing is get it compliant.
Yeah.
And that we do ourselves in-house, so we don't incur a lot of cost in terms of putting documents up there. We just haven't had the people or the time to do it, and obviously we need to correct that, so, yeah.
Okay, the recommendations on page 44.
Yep.
It's 8.1.1. Do I have a movement and a seconder? Did I get one? Andrew? Scott? Seconded? Put the recommendation. All those in favour? Okay, the next one is 8.1.2 and it's on page 46. The council approved the preparation of tenders calling for the construction of offices and the depot on land 21 Waller Avenue, recently purchased and owned by the County Council. That the completed tender be listed on the tender link for a period of not less than 20 working days. That the report be prepared with a recommendation of the preferred tender for approval by Council.
When do you anticipate being able to do that?
Pretty much as soon as the recommendations pass. In other words, the draft tender documents are to hand. I did attach the documents that were approved by council. I am having the, and it's probably get into a bigger discussion, I am having the architect expand those. As Andrew would know, there's not enough information there for someone to actually sort of quote on it. In particular, the civil engineering and structural engineering. So Peter Holzberger has now, we have agreed to appoint a civil engineer who'll do the civil and the structural and the earthworks type component of the drawing, so we can actually put it out to tender. Oh. Because the discussions I've had with potential interested parties, construction parties, were we need a bit more information to put a price on it.
Yeah.
So they wanted the civil drawings, etc.
You had some questions, Scott, you were going to ask about the property.
Yeah, it was more just looking at the drawings.
Mm.
And particularly the shed with the car spaces and things like that. And I still have to do anything there for it, just a comment that I think in reading the dimensions for the sheds, they're going to be pretty tight. I think you two vehicles next
door,
they're
going to
get pretty skinny to get out of the car. They look like they're kind of a standard
car shed
or standard garage. Everyone got a copy of that? Yeah, sorry? Not on here, but it's a bit hard. And as
yeah.
No, I think if you agree with the standard garage width's pretty much narrow.
Yeah.
You could wedge in the anchors and then try to open the doors and get out.
Mm-hmm.
All those same anchors might have booms on the back or the ones out. Furniture and stuff, so
yeah.
Things are going to get pretty tight. And, if every every shed space is filled with a vehicle.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty cosy.
5 metres by 3.8
for
the shed door she's talking about. It could be cosy with the vehicles in there. I agree with that. But I think it'll cover our needs because not all the vehicles will be here. We're covering such a large area, Inverell, Glen Innes, and Armadale and Walgreen. Some of the vehicles will be kept up in those locations by the people that are using them.
Yes.
So we won't all have our vehicles stopped and stored there, I should imagine.
Yes. I mean, there's provision for 12 vehicles, but remembering that there's quad bikes and trailers and things like that as well. I take your point, though, and it's something I need to check. It's just the width of the opening. We may be able to... because once you get into it, it's just a big space. So that's not such an issue, but we need to have a look. We might have, you know, some openings that are wider than others, or et cetera.
Knowing from experience...
Yeah, it's never big enough, no matter what you do.
When you've got a shed, you start to fill it with crap.
Real quick.
And then things become less room for the size it should be in the shed.
Yeah.
I'm just looking, is there any spare space on the block for an additional shed?
Not a lot.
No.
not a lot. Scott, the good thing is that's the discussion we're in at the moment with the architect to say, okay, we've got this approved from a DA point of view, but let's get it finalised in terms of a final drawing package, which isn't different, but if there's any little tweaks we want to do.
Can we check the length of the vehicles as well?
Yes, yeah, that I have done.
Someone's getting pretty involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got a bull bar in front, a tow bar in the back.
Yeah.
Or a boom, a boom will probably hang further than your tow bar, then suddenly you've got a 7-8 metre vehicle.
Yeah.
Which is not going to fit in your standard shed.
Yeah.
There are another 5 parking spaces, which wouldn't be too hard, on the opposite side of the building.
Oh, yeah, no, they're inside.
But you could have enclosed that if we had to.
They're actually being... That's one thing we have changed, is they've got a little bit of grass.
Yep.
You see, there's a little bit of grass here. And I said, well, that's a waste of space, so let's just concrete that straight across. And we've also pushed it back slightly, so they're longer and wider. And we took the grass out because we're only going to have to mow it or spray it, et cetera. But
see, mowing doesn't come under either of the two different operations. You've got to have a general manager job, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So we're in that, and if it would be of value, we could have a workshop when that exercise is complete, and we could even get the architect to come along and listen to the discussion and add input if you felt that was worthwhile. I mean, we want to get it right. Carol's correct in that we have a relatively constrained block. Pity we didn't go for the corner block, Andrew, because that... it creates so many problems having to just come in and out one entrance, whereas if we had that corner block, then you can...
We actually got that block at a very big discount.
Yes.
Thank you to the Armadale Council.
Yes.
So that's why we went this way. It's quite, by the way, this block is bigger than the last block we were given, which we're heading for.
Yes.
So that's the boundary of the block there, is it? That black line?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, if you needed, you could probably could you put out an awning out there to put more vehicle protection?
There are a lot of options.
Yeah. And I think Mark's point is valid. We're increasingly find it necessary to have vehicles that aren't all the time coming back to Armadale.
Yeah.
So as we, obviously the vehicle in Inverell is in Inverell, the one in Glen is in Glen. There's less vehicles coming home each night, so to speak.
There's provision here for more than the number of vehicles.
There's 12. Or 12.
So what's the fleet size at the moment?
7.
Yeah.
So 7.
Okay.
Or 8. So,
So there's a bit of space there.
And with the sort of stated philosophy, I say stated because we have to see... how effective it is of using contractors, subcontractors to do spraying. So we're not doing it all ourselves. The vehicles, at the moment, we have essentially three spray vehicles. Now, we do have equipment on the back of Isuzu Utes, but those people will increasingly be doing inspections and not spraying.
Right.
So it won't be that everyone has a spray unit on the back of the vehicle. There'll only be, at this stage, it's been identified that three vehicles will be fitted out as spray vehicles, as opposed to all of them, which they are at the moment.
And provision for drones.
Yes, yeah. So we just have to see how well that works, because it's quite a change to look at subcontracting all the, well, not all the spraying work, but basically the philosophy is that we have enough people that we can support throughout the year, but we don't want to have people that come the winter, they're surplus and redundant, because then we're basically paying for, you know, people just to come into work, sort of thing. So we feel we can keep three people fully occupied and subcontract additional spraying, rather than have sort of five sprayers, but in reality, come the winter, we only need two or three, sort of thing. That's the philosophy, so we have to work that through, but... Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting that feeling, yeah.
Is everyone happy with the plan that we've got at the moment? I think we've gone so far to get it up to the stage. We've got buying the shed off the... it's a pre-made shed, virtually, so we don't have to worry about designing it, building it straight off the plan. The sooner we can get this whole thing up and running, the earthworks, in other words, the plumbing and electricity and all that supply underground, all the groundworks, the heights of all these things, so there we don't get flooded when it rains and we don't get all these other things worked out and put into play. The sooner we can get this up and running, and I was hoping to be in it by now. But unfortunately, it looks like next year it'll probably be a running concern. But that's like... The next thing is, I don't know whether you've mentioned it, we have had talks with Adam Marshall related to possible funding. And it seems very positive. He's sent us some paperwork to fill out to make an application.
He hasn't sent us paperwork, but he has asked us to make a formal submission. Again, I'm waiting for the final drawings. That really doesn't make too much. I can make the submission with these drawings, because these are the stamped DA-approved drawings, and we can't change them too much. I mean, we have a bit of latitude, but he's aware of what we're doing and what we're proposing. The comment made was encouraging. It was, how much do you think it'll be? And I actually said, rightly or wrongly, 1.2 million, knowing that it'll be a bit less than that. And the comment made was, oh, that's not so much, that shouldn't be a problem.
Same as the toilet blocks in Gara.
So I then followed that up by saying, okay, if it's not a problem, what do we need to do next? And he said, just get a formal request in, and he'll progress it from there. So he seems to be quite positive. Nice thing is, weed spraying in his current portfolio are consistent. You know, agriculture and, you know, and DPI and LLS, etc. So it's all sort of in... It's very easy for him to argue at a time when they're under a bit of pressure for... What's that technical term? Pork barrelling or something like that?
Yeah, something
like that. Reasonably, there'll be a cabinet reshuffle, though, or the...
Correct.
Yeah, having it right now.
Elections go pear-shaped, and he's...
Yeah.
...comes down
with the
Minister for
Ag
for one reason or
another. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about having all that in within the next week or so. And I'm tic-tacking back and forth with Lisa to, you know, she knows. She seems to make things happen. Because he's down in Sydney at the moment anyway, so it's a bit off
the air. The other reason being, too, that the cost of everything is running away. Michael received funding for three bridges, $several million recently, and that was to build three, but the price of materials is starting to dictate that we might be lucky to do two.
Mm. Our exposure, I guess, as you would know, Andrew, is steel. That's a bit of a moving target.
Steel's an issue, and the fact that there is just simply so much work.
But steel's in your concrete, slab steel's in your...
Mm. That's right.
Roofing.
There's so much going on that they, you know, that any tenderers will throw in a price, not really caring whether they get it or not, because it's probably, in some respects, they don't need.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
Okay, councillors, we've got a recommendation, 8.1.2. Can I have a mover and a seconder? Move, Andrew.
I'm happy to second, but before I vote, I just wanted to ask, presumably the operational costs down here are quite low because of the quality. So that increase, you know, power bills and all the rest of it have been thought through. The ongoing costs will be higher.
Yes.
In the new palace.
Not significantly higher, because the only real change would actually be air conditioning, where at the moment we're using gas heaters in the winter, and this will be air conditioned in the summer rather than being a bit of a hot box, and it'll have heating in the winter.
So that was the other thing I was just going to say, is that if you can, because there's no plans for solar panels on this at the moment.
No, there was a requirement, as you probably know, to have half the roof covered with solar. And we got a waiver on that. The good thing about that is we've got a waiver that we don't have to do it. It now puts it back in our hands. And obviously, if we got significant funding from Adam Marshall's office, it gives us the opportunity to do a few, you know, bells and whistles.
I suppose all I would like to say is that if you can budget, hopefully for some of those solar panels or whatever it takes to kind of offset your increased operationals, that would be really good.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get much interest on the money you're saving, but you can make money on not paying your power bills.
Yes,
long term.
Yes.
Yeah, because most of your operations, you draw on power during daylight hours anyway.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can incorporate.
And I'm only just getting into costs. One of the big ones is fuel. Perhaps not unsurprising, given the nature of what we do.
But that doesn't relate to the change in venue.
No. It's just high. But in terms of the actual office, it doesn't change very much. You know, what we do here, we do there, etc.
In our own premises, though, in the future, it'd be good to have a solar panel to reduce our electricity costs.
Absolutely.
And we've already got water tanks planned for reducing our water costs for filling up of the spray units and all that.
Yes.
And utilising whatever's available to make it the more efficient way of doing things if we can.
And I'm presuming that this shed's insulated? Is it the office?
Yes, they've got to be.
The offices are, the shed's not. Oh, well, I mean, it has the normal insulation over the roof of the building sort of thing, but it's not an insulated building.
OK, Council, I'll put the recommendation, which is 8.1.2. All those in favour? Declare that carried. Now, next recommendation is 8.1.3, that Council undertake a review of the local policies at the future workshop, to be held after the general election in accordance with Section 165 of the Local Government Act 1993, that Council undertake amendments as required to its policies following the workshop, and that Council adopt all existing draft policies until the policy review above is undertaken. And there's quite a number of existing draft policies. And they're on page 50.
Now, I am conscious that you've reviewed them to some degree, and that they have previously been adopted. So this is really flagging that once there's a new council elected after the December elections, it's really that council should adopt their own policies, sort of thing. And I'm working my way through them, and as the chair says, there's a lot of them. And there's actually more than are listed.
Some of those policies are mandatory.
Yes.
So you have to just get those in.
Correct, yes.
Can I tell you, I don't see this as continuity. I might be wrong, but that's one that we actually have to really work on.
Yes.
With our council. So if a matter arising from that, could be that we consider Mr. General Manager Business Continuity, because we look like having more of those triple-headed tornadoes coming through.
Yeah.
There is one policy here that I had concerns of as a board member or an executive member of a committee, and that's the work health and safety management system and the workplace plan and strategies. And what I'm going to relate to now is I'm just waiting for Carol. She's going to turn off the power, I think. Well done. What I'm going to relate to now is following legal advice that I got yesterday, being a board member on other committees and boards, anything to do with health advice related to COVID-19 that becomes out from the health department, being advice, not direction, from the state government. The advice is that the health department says the advice is that all people are to be inoculated to be continue employment. That is advice. It's not law. Mm. Right? I would like to leave it up in our leave that section out of our OH&S policies and workplace policies and strategies, because in the future that leaves any board member that approves this eligible to be sued if something goes wrong with this vaccine by people sick for it, from it, or others. So even though the health can advise it, they're not taking responsibility. That's advice. If we adopt it or we put it into force, we are then responsible for it.
You mean mandates that they can't have a job without having double vax?
That's what they're saying. That's what they're advising. They're not telling us to do. We're glad it's not a law.
You know, the risk is, if you've got staff that choose not to be double vaxxed, and it makes their job undoable. So there's, for instance, you know, there's several occupations that you can appreciate where the interaction with the public dictates that they need to be double vaxxed to protect the public that they are dealing with. Now, if you've got staff that are dealing with the public and they're not double vaxxed, and that may preclude them from dealing with the public and therefore doing their job. So you could end up with staff, if you're not requiring them to be double vaxxed, you could end up with staff that are essentially superfluous and you're paying them to do a job they can't do. So to my mind, the requirement to be double vaxxed should be mandatory at this stage.
It's only advice, that's the problem.
Yeah, but employees, there's far bigger employers than us, employers, that are mandating and legal advice generally is, and I spoke to a big employer about this on Friday, his legal advice was if they can't do their job, it becomes a condition of their employment to be able to do certain parts of their job. If they can't do it, because they're not double vaxxed, you don't want to get rid of them. If they want to sue for unfair dismissal, get in a line that's 35 years long. So they might sue, go to the back of the queue.
Yep.
They're not going to be liable when their turn comes.
I agree with what you're saying, but what I'm saying is, who are they going to sue? They're not going to sue the general manager. He's only acting on comes under our direction. They'll be suing the board directors or the people that make the decisions.
And that's us. And the other thing I think is that by the 1st of December, the health advice is that there's not going to be no discrimination in the most risky areas like cafes.
Yeah, that's a mandate. But if you've got businesses or people that want double vaccination as a requirement of entry, and your staff can't go there, then they can't do the job.
What I'm suggesting is that you wait until the 1st of December, which is by definition the new council, and see how this plays out in terms of the health directions. Because I think at the moment there's a lot of speculation about what jobs can and can't be done with or without vaccinations. But one thing I do know is that by the 1st of December, it is anticipated that there's going to be no discrimination for much, much more risky contact circumstances as between vaxxed and not unvaxxed. So I think it would be
if
really
I can give an example of the if I can give an example of the confusion that's abounding at the moment right now today. My husband's bookshop, for example. You've got to wear a mask when you go in there, and you've got to be double vaxxed.
And have it on your phone.
19-year-old grandson has to police that.
Mm.
Around the corner and up the road at the video shop, they can employ unvaxxed people. People can go in there, they don't have to be masked. People to understand exactly what's going on. Plus, you've got your own prejudice as well. But basically, I think the health orders is a safe way to go. That's my feeling, for everybody to be covered. So if you're afraid that you're going to get sued, just say, well, the health orders on that day when we made that decision was this.
And you flip it on its head, though, and let's say the staff might sue because you're requiring them to be double-vaxxed, but what about the staff that are double-vaxxed that don't want to share an office with someone that isn't? And they say, we've got a responsibility to those staff
and their families.
And their families. It continues down the track. So they can say, you're neglecting my health and safety. I'm going to sue you. So you get sued either way. So it's choosing the one that's...
People who are double-vaxxed can catch this virus. People that are double vaxxed can spread this virus. The only difference between the vaxxers and the non-vaxxers are that the ones that aren't vaxxed are likely to die from it, and we're likely to go into hospital from it.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant. And that's irrelevant when we're trying to make the rules. The practical implications or the practicalities of it, and I agree, there's no doubt about it, but the practicalities of it be that we've been stuck with this for quite some time.
Can we underline that?
Forever.
Could we say we underline that policy and say that given the circumstances as of now, the state, we would like to leave that in?
I think it will need constant review,
I do think your point of... If it's required for them to do their job, we're on a very strong grounds to say, you know, to do this job, you have to have a driver's license.
Yeah.
And I've recently had this issue in terms of going onto farms where I've been on the hotline. Fortunately, they call back now. You don't have to wait for an hour and 45 minutes to talk to them. They'll return your call. So... and they've said, no, look, if you're double vaxxed, you can go onto a property. You're allowed to have, I forget how many people it is, 10 or 20 or something like that. They are able to travel in your vehicle, as long as they wear a mask. You're able to travel in their vehicle, because that's what happens. They go onto a property, and as you know, they jump in the farmer's vehicle and they go up and he shows them where they've got something of interest or what have you. So I think that's a very strong position to say that if the health requirements require double vaxxing and we have someone who isn't double vaxxed, then they can't do their job. And the fortunate thing is everyone is double vaxxed, so we don't have that issue. We just have to be cautious of who we do approach.
Yeah, well, council, for example,
So I think obviously at the moment it's not an issue, but down the track staff turnover, and you employ someone for whatever reason that's not vaccinated.
Well, if we're subcontracting sprayers
and we
want that sprayer to go onto someone's farm, and they can only do that if they're vaccinated.
But even when we get away from statutory obligations for health orders or whatever, there can still be businesses that under their conditions of entry can say, you're not coming on here unless you are double vaxxed.
Yeah.
And that can and will continue for forever. That's been in place long before COVID and be in place long after. So that's just a condition of entry that they can impose for any business.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is down the track, next year, 5 years, 10 years,
yeah.
The condition of entry will still dictate. So we could, you know, and it may, what we're talking about, we may end up with staff that can't go on certain businesses and effectively can't do their job, and Newer as a whole can't do their job. So it's something that will need appropriate attention continually.
You feel your staff are double vaxxed, because under the current legislation, if someone has a medical reason for not being vaccinated, you try to get rid of them, you'd be up for an unfair dismissal in that case.
No, that's why I say we have to be very careful, because we're in a fortunate position where everyone is double vaxxed.
It's not the general manager be up there. That's we are to make the decisions, put the policies in place.
And where the federal government and state government have been clever, I think, is that they're stepping aside from that discussion and they're saying, we're not mandating that that has to happen. But you only have to look like organisations like the airlines, like Qantas, etc. And Mr. Joyce is saying, all of our pilots will be double vaxxed, all of our check-in staff will be, etc. And in the United States, it's running rife that there's very few organisations who aren't insisting upon mandatory vaccination. So that puts the monkey back on the business, and that's where virtually any business can say, well, to come into our business, we require you, if Armidale Council, to wear a mask and to be double vaxxed, although legally that's not their requirement. Certainly to wear a mask in an office is not a requirement at the moment.
When you think about it,
but they're insisting that, well, our rule is that you must wear a mask,
When you think about it, we're going to create another class of people out there, people who medically can't have COVID vaccination.
Don't you start on the apartheid.
Socially
outcast.
Because they won't be there together.
Professor Graham Stewart says there is a vaccine for everyone. There is actually no medical reason, including someone from having one type of vaccine or another. You've got three choices. You can't have one, you have the other, you can't have that, you have another. There is pretty much no one that can't have a vaccine.
There are vaccines available now, but my wife's got a little number called Anaphylosed syndrome, which is a blood disorder. And if she'd had AstraZeneca, it would have killed her.
So she can now have Pfizer or
she had Pfizer,
whichever one suits. So there is a vaccine.
She has Pfizer for medical supervision.
And if all else fails.
An excuse is not an excuse.
But I think for right now, I'm just trying to get the meeting through. For right now, the situation, it's a watch this space.
Watch this space, liberty.
Position that we should be.
Well, they're all double vaxxed, but there's no need. To rush a decision, but if someone leaves and we end up with an unvaxxed employer, then she'd be in the fan.
What I was just saying, that as executives, I would be very nervous about making a policy that forced people to have a vaccination. End of story.
I think we've had a pretty robust discussion.
Do you have a recommendation for that last one?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
And that's really flagging a workshop in the future, but to make us comply by putting it on the website, because we have to publicly advertise it, which we haven't really done.
But you've got as a matter of arising business continuity.
I sure do.
So 8.1.3, the recommendation, the council undertake the review of local policies. We've done that. Can I have a move and a second? Scott, Andrew, sorry.
No,
you're right. Next one. All those in favour? Carried. Now, 8.1.4, the council approved the attendance of staff who are members of the union at the local government picnic day in accordance with the state award. This is an excellent idea, because it gives your staff the opportunity to socially get together, discuss their ins and outs, and to build networks.
Mm-hmm.
And I support this, but however, I'd like to move this.
I'm happy to
the chair, and Margaret would like to second it. Any comments, any suggestions?
No.
I'll put that recommendation, all those in favour. So you can find a huge amount.
Before
that carried.
I was just going to say before you do, just a question regarding the the attendance of staff who may not attend it. Been in local government before, that giving staff here the day off, which I'm not against at all, but then to attend a picnic day, is that sort of foreseen as being a picnic day organised by Newer at a central location? And so all of our staff.
It says the union, by the way, in the
regulation,
but
yes.
Newer would be organising.
No, we're not doing picnics.
So the members of the union are all coming together. If there's some of those members that don't want to attend the picnic day, do they still get the day off to do as they please?
No.
Yes and no. If you don't want to incur the wrath of the union. Obviously for us, I was actually surprised. We only have, I think it's 2 union members, possibly 3.
Council will have non-union staff available to work.
Yes. Now, the other part of this, which isn't decided yet, and would be put to the council, is the proposal to shut down between Easter and New Year.
Christmas.
Easter and New Year. That'd be good. But Christmas and New Year. There's always 3 days.
You need those 12 days then.
In there, and many councils, as you would know, and Armidale, I think, closes down for those 3 days. And there's various ways that those 3 days, they can either be annual leave. The 2 union members may say, well, look, we'll nominate that as our picnic day. We also, we have people who have time in lieu. We say, okay, you can bank your time in lieu to cover those days, etc. So this has been written so that it's got that flexibility that they can actually nominate what they want to do with their picnic day.
Yeah.
They may want to join the Armidale Regional Council picnic day, because we're not going to put on anything, etc. So that's something we can look at going forward, sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not worth having anything for 2 union members.
No.
No.
And so to answer what... Yeah, I think Carol's question is going to be the other staff members coming in to fill the roles. If it's that over that Christmas New Year period, the other staff members will be, the office will be closed anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea to close.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to close it over Christmas. Because they're going to break.
Yeah.
Okay, recommendation 9.1, that the report on the outcomes of the 2021 Weed Action Program be received and noted. This is where Scott had some questions.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed the show and field days have been hampered because of COVID, and that's...
There's been no show and field days.
Yeah. Equipped in particular.
Yeah.
But I assume they're going to start up again next year and things will be better. Square one again, hopefully, for the world.
And I think, for information, it's worth saying that the issues of the last probably 6 months have had an impact on the momentum of the council. Quite a considerable impact. Even the preparation of this report was... And it's something that has been done for 10 years... and 4 times a year, each quarter. But for some reason this year we are, so a lot of disciplines that were, managed by either the previous general manager or James Browning, etc., the opportunity has been sort of seized to say, oh, well, they do that. And so there's the biggest focus at the moment that I have, and I appreciate this is very operational, is getting back on track to meet the requirements of the WAP to do the inspections, etc. Because if you look at the number of inspections, it's and I compared this year to last year, it's a third of what they were last year, and we're going to get pinged. We know we cut corners and we put inspections in that we didn't do, and so there was other reasons why we would be down now, because we're reporting honestly, but we actually need to get out and do the job, and there's a lot of internal navel gazing at the moment and I've sort of said, you know, time out with that, go forth and inspect, or go forth and spray, and to forget about all the other stuff. So that's just a bit of a true confessions, but that's job one at the moment, and
I've got to say that last week, the council did have our regional meetings at the villages and communities, and I noticed most of them, particularly the more far-flung ones, and asked that anyone, because it's pretty much landholders there, anyone that hasn't seen a wage officer in the last 3 years should be pretty concerned and should give a call.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously they haven't been doing a job. Thankfully, at Narrabock, at the very least, there were several people in attendance that had seen Josh quite recently.
Yes.
And I've got to say, that hasn't happened before. There's people in Wyke that haven't seen a wage officer.
Yes.
So those people are still going in here as having seen them when they have. So Josh has been about, which is great.
We've
been the first one for a long time to actually do his job.
Well, good to hear that.
Sorry? The new system that, you know, this council set up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Part of
the
it.
New structure.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
And I don't think it hurts to have them know that people are checking.
Yes.
People do notice.
Yeah. Sure.
Pass that on. Where we're not having the problem, easier for me to explain where we're not having it rather than where we are, not to point fingers, but where we're not having it is with Trent, Rachel, Josh, Rob, Matt, Caesar, and Jeff up in Inverell. In other words, the troops are getting on with their job. We do have two roles who are a bit preoccupied with what their roles could be, sort of thing, rather than getting on with the job. Mm-hmm. And we've had what we, not being sacrilegious, but what I refer to as a come to Jesus meeting, and it's probably not the only one to say, go forth and inspect or go forth and spray, and leave all this other stuff about wondering what new vehicle we're going to buy or what we're going to do here or there, or, you know, that's irrelevant, let's just get on with it, sort of thing. Maybe speaking a bit too openly, but you'll find that I'm a bit like that, as Margaret knows. I sort of tell it like it is. Incurred the wrath of Armidale Council at times.
It's pretty simple, just do your damn job.
Yeah. And the good news is that the troops on the ground are out there doing that. You know, so and they're good at it too. I mean, I've been surprised how well, you know, for example, Josh knows his territory of, you know, Nowndock up to the Urala border and what have you. They know what needs to get done. They know, you know, how many properties there are to inspect and what they have to do to get it all done. That's, you know, very encouraging sort of thing. But that's where we are at the moment. That's where the focus is. You know, what are the regions we have to cover? What's the work we have to do? What do we have to do to make all that happen? So
they're fairly lucky. Most of the properties they don't expect that it's so small to not that big.
Yeah.
You get out west. One place I used to go was 145,000. Acres.
Yeah, but they've only got three blades of grass, though, and, you know.
And 25 sheep.
Yeah.
Well, the oxygen station, they had 900 bulls in the bull paddock.
Yeah.
16,000 breeding cows.
Yeah. There's big Mickey Z.
The bottom end of the Macquarie Marshes, so they had. Yeah.
Okay, can I have a mover for 9.1?
Yeah.
Andrew, Margaret, all those in favour, in my usual manner. Over the last areas, are there any matters of urgency? No matters of urgency? Well, before I close the meeting and discuss the next meeting, I don't know that the 14th of December they're going to have any councils. Actually, because the declaration date is the 23rd of December.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah. There's some reason they're giving a kind of time for postal votes.
Yeah. And that's obviously a fluid date anyway, because yes, in theory, yes, they're supposed to declare it, have the meeting, appoint people, you know, as you know, form the councils.
Why don't you just defer it for a month?
Yeah.
Is that too long, and make it the 14th of Jan? Because that takes you over the Christmas New Year, after the Christmas New Year break.
And you will then have your...
We can put TBA as well.
Yes. By the way...
You'll have your mayors and deputies and councillors. Yeah.
There'll be no executive as from the 4th of December until the election is declared, and the members are selected from their respective councils.
Yeah. It'll be a 40-day break.
Yeah. Our first meeting after the election is
40 days later,
the end of January.
Yeah.
The fourth Thursday.
There was talk about the mayor staying on the sort of frivolous role.
We can't do that. Unless you're a popularly elected council, you won't have a mayor.
Yeah.
So it's not a local council.
The chairman's gone too, well, in the Queen's County Council.
Yeah.
Sorry?
My term finishes on 4th.
Yeah.
So it means there'll be no board for 40, roughly 40 days.
Yes.
But I think you can manage in that space, don't you, Tim?
Well, I'll make sure that there isn't anything that requires board awareness.
Yeah, that's right.
If not approval, at least awareness. And that's why I'm doing things like flagging the workshop and putting the tender out. But
unless we give you authority from this meeting.
Yeah. Do you want to change that to the 14th?
Sorry?
Do you want to make it change the recommendation, 14th of January?
Oh, it's a matter for the general manager, I would have thought, because he's the one in the...
Well, I'll pick a Tuesday on or after the 14th of January.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And we don't know what's going to...
No.
Who knows what's going to go on.
Going to be.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, you can leave that to be advised. Now, before I close the meeting...
I'd like to think we would have tenders to consider, but it won't be by the 14th of January, because as you know, you've got to put them out for a month, and it'll take another month. Well, that puts us to the 14th of January.
Are you going to get advertising for tenders, or are you going to selectively pick half a dozen builders or three builders or something and ask them for
public tender? Yes.
What's that called? A selective tender, is it? Yes. That would be the preference. I mean, we can advertise.
You might get, with the storms, you might get that many, but normally you get every man his dog putting in for
a tender.
Yes.
Yeah.
You could be going through 15 tenders, and then half the one can buy.
Yes.
Oh, we'll just let this bid out, don't worry about it.
Yes. Yeah. So ideally it would be a selective tender, and I'm speaking to those people at the moment anyway, looking to find someone who's actually in Armidale because of all the advantage of working with an Armidale organisation. There's one or two good ones in Tamworth, but they're busy as well. And as you know, the shed people are quoting, 12, 18 months. Yeah. For completion.
Shed people won't be quoting that far out, but more substantial shed.
Yeah. Although there is one builder who owns a shed company within the group, and has said, well, that won't be a problem. The shed will just be available to tie in with the rest of our building work, sort of thing. You'd know who Nick is.
There's actually a couple of buildings in town that have shed franchises.
Yes, yeah.
Just looking at this hotel, we are holding the landing in December.
Today?
Yeah.
So I think the minute you get your tender documents ready,
yeah.
call an extraordinary anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, and we can have an extraordinary up till the 4th.
Just for that purpose, because it's a big purpose.
Yes. I'm just saying logistically, it probably won't be before then. I'd like it to be, but...
Councillors, before we go, first of all, I'd like to thank you all for the effort you've put in. The County Council has never looked better, and I might add, after stating we're going to have a deficiency next year as well as this year, not a surplus in our budget. Both of them are well and truly handleable because of the money we've put out behind us in running. I appreciate the effort you've put in to turning up to meetings, to barging through all this stuff we continually do. And for our community, I'm sure the community, even though they can't thank you personally, appreciate the effort that is going into this County Council. Each and every one of you, I know, has put in a mighty effort just to be here and to partake, to make the decisions that are required. Not all of them have been easy decisions. Some of them are very difficult decisions. And from my perspective, I'd like to thank Scott because he's been a great support, and I love he and I don't always agree, don't get me wrong, but I'll fight for his right to have his opinion. Andrew, you've been a momentous flaming mover. Your discussions are always robust. You're a doer, not a flaming sitter, and I'd love to have you on any committee, which is really great. Carol, thank you for coming along. You've brought Glenn Innes along with you. I think the Weeds County Council working with Glenn Innes is going to be a very successful union.
Yeah.
I think in the future it's going to be a big space forward. I think under good management, I think it's all... And Margaret, thank you for your support. I like the green attitude. I'm not a green, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But our future, our future has got to be better for our kids and for our families. And that's the way we've got to go forward.
Yeah.
So we've got to take care of all these things.
Yeah.
And so once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate the effort you've put in.
Thank you.
I hope if you're running for election, you're successful, and you'll come back and bring the knowledge you have with you.
Mm.
And if you're not, well, if whatever future takes you away, I hope it's successful too.
Thank you.
So may God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Now I declare the meeting closed.
Thank you.